Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And now to all of its collaboration with the Academy of American Poets and its Poem A Day project. It's the only daily digital poetry series. The Academy invited 12 guest editors to each curate a month of poems in 2019. If you sign up at poets.org, a poem will appear in your inbox every day. And without further ado, here is today's poem.
The Creative Drive. A recent study found that poems increased the sale price of a home by close to $9,000. The years, however, have not been kind to poems. The Northeast has lost millions of poems, reducing the canopy. Just a few days ago, high winds knocked a poem onto a power line a few blocks from my house. I had not expected to lose so many at once. "We've created a system that is not healthy for poems," said someone. "Over the next 30 years, there won't be any poems where there are overhead wires. Some poems may stay as a nuisance, as a gorgeous marker of time."
If you'd like to have a poem a day in your life, sign up at poets.org. In season 8 of Game of Thrones, the battle between fire and ice will be taking place, and it needs, well, fire and ice. Our next guest is the man responsible for creating that fire and ice, along with blood, smoke, fog, wind, and all the other practical effects you see on screen. His name is Sam Conway, visual effects supervisor on Game of Thrones from 2014 until the series finale. He joins us as part of our reoccurring series, Behind the Thrones, where we speak to those members of the crew who worked behind the camera to make Game of Thrones a global phenomenon. And Sam joins us via phone from Belfast, Ireland. Hi, Sam.
Oh, yeah, all right.
And to our listeners, reporter, friend of the show, and culture editor, Gothamist, and Game of Thrones fan, Ben Yakis, is joining me as well, because, Sam, Ben is a super fan. So I'm going to ask all the basic questions, and Ben is going to ask all the super fan questions, okay?
Whoa, okay.
Sam, how did you get started in this business?
I suppose many years ago, I was going to work with my dad. When he used to work on film sets. He's a special effects supervisor as well. And I just go along for a bit of fun as a kid. And then as life progressed, I started to really enjoy it. Well, who wouldn't?
Good question. So how does one become a special effects supervisor? Is it an apprenticeship kind of position, the way that other ones are in the business?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. You can't just walk straight into it. You have to earn your points, if you see what I'm saying. A lot of experience, a lot of time on the field, you know, all sorts of categories as well, you know, not just to pyrotechnics or anything like that. You know, you can stick to certain things, but you have to be a general, you know, man of many trades.
All right, Ben, it's time for your super fan questions.
Well, first, I just wanted to say that I was reading about you, and I understand that your father worked on Monty Python and a bunch of Terry Gilliam films.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, he did, yeah.
I feel like I have felt that influence, especially around, like, Winterfell scenes and certain of the, like, northern scenes that have happened in the show.
Oh, right, okay. I'm not sure how that happens.
Maybe that's just projection. I feel like somebody had, like, the coconuts out at some point. Maybe that was, like, how it was coming.
Okay, yeah.
But my understanding is that next week's episode, The Battle of Winterfell, is the biggest production the show has ever done.
Yeah, apparently so.
What goes into something like that?
What goes into it? Well, there's an awful lot of stuff, but I can't give any spoilers, obviously. The only thing I would say is, yeah, you're correct. It was a big production for that episode, and I think we're all buzzing. I can't wait to see it myself.
You haven't seen the finished product yet?
Oh no, not at all. No, I'm not privy to that just yet.
Does that mean you're going to stay up till 2 a.m. to watch it next week?
No, I'm not that foolhardy.
My guest is Sam Conway, special effects supervisor for Game of Thrones for the past 5 years. So, Sam, when you see something written in the script and you know that you have to create it, what's your first step?
Firstly, after I've picked myself up from the floor, I tend to sort of like break it back, you know, sort of work out exactly how much involvement I am to be, you know, held for, and then I can work out from there. I can work out the crew needed. I can work out how we're going to do it. Then, you know, ways of testing to make sure we're going up the barking up the right tree. That's kind of what it is. I break it down is what I do.
Have you been presented with something that you ultimately accomplished and figured out, but really you thought when you first saw it, I don't know what this is. I don't know how to do this.
No, I don't think so. There never seems to be anything you can't do. You just got to sort of think about it a bit. I tend to think out of the box quite a bit, and it tends to bring me to the right answer.
And when you say think out of the box, just finding sort of offbeat solutions, or can you give me an example?
I can't give an example. It has to spring up naturally. I think what it is I think it's been spontaneous, and generally the first sort of spontaneous idea that pops in my head will be the one that I like most. So I try other ways, but I'll always end up going back to the first crazy idea I had.
Your first idea is always the best.
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
It really is all the time. Ben?
Yeah, more or less, yeah. I'd say so, yeah.
Something I've always wondered is, considering the fact that the dragons are obviously created with a lot of CGI, you are responsible for helping make the practical effects of the dragons, like the fire. How challenging is that when all you're looking at are like a giant thing with a tennis ball on it because it's the green screen?
So basically, once we kind of work out the scale of these dragons, you have to kind of work out the scale that we can achieve physically. Then we work out, say, for example, the fire, when the fire comes out of the dragon's mouth, it has to be of a believable size. And because they're, obviously getting so much bigger, the flame that comes out is insanely large. So we have to kind of work out ways of doing that safely, obviously, as well. And also physics doesn't allow certain things to happen to flame. It can't fly the speeds that the dragons fly and come outwards. It always ends up wanting to go back. So we all sit there and work out best ways of shooting it, whether the camera's at an angle, so you've got, heat on your side, the impacts as well, the fire impacts, that's another fun side of what we do as well. Like for the Frozen Lake, we had a lot of R&R on that. And what we achieved was a combination of pyro and water, all happened at once. And, it looked great, looked really good, cuts right in nicely.
Yeah, I mean, the show always looks incredible when you see it.
There's a lot of attention to detail. We spend a lot of time talking about this stuff, a lot of time researching it, testing, make sure everyone's really happy with it, and make sure it all goes really well together,
Sam, you mentioned fire.
Yes.
How do you do that safely when there are real people involved?
That's a very good question. Obviously, it's not safe. but that's kind of why I like it as well. It's got that element of danger, which is always good fun. I think that it just, you approach it practically. You don't want everything to set on fire, so you move everything away that will set on fire. So, and then, obviously, if it's something that's not protected, then you obviously want to make sure that stays protected. So you do things like that, really. It's not that hard, really.
And I hope that this might sound like an obvious question, but are there certain actors you work more with?
On the Friends bunch? I suppose Kit would be one of the ones that we've done quite a bit with. That goes for all the seasons, I imagine, because he's quite a pivotal character. Obviously, there's Amelia as well, but we do work quite a lot with these particular characters.
Yeah, I mean, Kit obviously gets to do all the fun battle episodes over the years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I suppose this season, everyone gets involved on the action now.
Yeah, that's right, I suppose, yeah. But, that's inevitable, isn't it? It's the story. It has to go somewhere like that.
Are you also a big nerd fan of the show as well, outside of working on it?
I am a fan. I wouldn't say I'm a nerd fan, because I tend to sit there. I used to sit there in the meetings and sometimes forget who everyone's talking about, because I wasn't really, I don't sit watch it all the time. I watch it when it comes out, and I appreciate it. Unfortunately, I've got lots of other things going on.
Don't Don't look at Sam. He's busy. My guess is my guess is Sam Conway, special effects supervisor of Game of Thrones, who's joining us from Belfast, Ireland. Sam, before we let you go, I have a couple quick questions, and then Ben, you're going to give us a wrap up. I have heard we had on the costume designer last week that this has had the biggest budget this season 8 of all the seasons. What is the impact of that on the work you do?
It was big. There's no doubt about that. It was perhaps twice the size of the previous season. But then again, when it first sort of got put together, it turned out it was going to be nearly twice the length of time. So it had to be twice the budget, really. But how do we approach it? Well, I don't know. It's difficult to say. We just approached it bit by bit, really, and then worked out which bit was going to be the most costly.
Hmm. And it was the production designer, not the costume designer. I misspoke.
Right.
She was awesome.
Oh, right. Debs.
Yeah, she was fantastic. She was so interesting.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. She's a fan.
All right, before I wrap up, Ben Yakis, do you have any last fan question?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like working with those dragons and everything, that just blows my mind. I mean, have you ever ridden one yourself?
No. I'm not that gamely. Those days for me are well over. I used to test some of the rigs that I used to make, but no, I can't do that anymore. No, I'm hard work myself.
So Sam, now that it's over, you're thinking about it, you look back on it. What did you learn from working on Game of Thrones?
I learned that there was a great collective of people, and I also learned that Belfast is an amazing place to be. A place to work. I've learned that I'm going to miss most of those people. Mm. So, you know, and I'm happy that I've moved over here to Belfast. So,
and what are you working on next?
I'm working on another HBO thing.
Oh.
is it another big HBO show that might be coming out a little later this year?
Can't give too much away, can I? Don't think.
to be continued. He's a man of mystery.
Yeah.
He's a special effects supervisor and man of mystery, Sam Conway. Sam, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. All right, take care.
Take care. Yeah. Okay, Ben. So now people want a recap, as you know.
This was a big one.
Yeah, it was. This is where I do my I agree with you, Ben.
Exactly.
Stickman.
All the Targaryens and everything.
So just give us an overview.
Yeah, this was, you know, last week's episode, the season premiere, was a little bit of a table-setting, calm before the storm type episode. And this week was another table-setting, calm before the storm type episode. Except that I think this week's episode was the platonic ideal of this kind of talky, chatty, get a bunch of characters in a room together and just let them bounce off each other, let their shared histories just rise to the surface. And there were just so many just wonderful moments with side characters who perhaps are not going to be around that much longer.
No.
But everybody, you know, they got a chance in the spotlight. And I think especially Brienne of Tarth, who is this wonderful knight who's been going around for the last couple seasons, basically protecting everyone and treating everyone wonderfully. She's the most honorable character on the show. And she actually wasn't a knight because ladies are not allowed to be knights in this realm. But last night, Jaime, Lannister, who is one of her closest friends, I suppose, at this point, decided to say F tradition and knighted her in a very unexpectedly emotional ceremony on the eve before this giant battle with the Army of the Undead.
I have two questions. One is just something I read and I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting, that there was some character who was actually allowed to be a teenager.
So that would be Arya. Arya Stark, who she is one of the Stark children, and she spent, like the other Stark children, the last 8 seasons getting kidnapped, abused, tortured. She worked for essentially group of faceless assassins for a while.
Wow.
Who encouraged, they're like a cult who encourage you to give up your personality so you serve this many-faced god. She ended up rejecting that, but she became pretty hardened over the years. And one of the lovely things about this season is that they've been letting her humanity kind of come back in. And that culminated last night with her on the eve of this battle being like, I've never had sex before. What's up with that? And sort of jumping one of her old friends.
Wow.
And that's where the teenager, you know, you're about to, you might die the next day.
I can understand.
Stuff up. Yeah.
I can understand it. My guest is Beth Benyakis, who is the culture editor for Gotham, as he is doing a bit of a recap of Game of Thrones for all you folks who watch. I don't, so I'm trying to ask questions. I try to do a little research. So, who's going to die next?
Well, I did cover that today. I was up until about 5 a.m. last night writing up my, because we don't get screeners anymore. So I'm watching it live and then I'm rewatching it and then I'm starting to write it and then I rewatch it about two or three more times. So I think, you know, there were a couple of storylines that their arcs for certain characters really came to a really emotionally satisfying place in this episode. Somebody like Jaime Lannister, who I mentioned, who was a little bit of a scoundrel when we first met him, and now has really come full circle where he is being selfless and he is giving himself up to this larger fight. I think that his time is numbered. Ser Jorah, who has been Dany's right-hand man from the start of the show, he got a nice moment with her. He made peace with his house that he had been pushed away from for crimes a long time ago, and he even got like a nice fancy sword to fight in the battle with. Theon Greyjoy, who is a member of another house, I can only imagine these names are washing over you. and they just
but I enjoy, you know what, I enjoy your enthusiasm. So it's okay.
Maybe it's like ASMR where it's just like the words themselves are just sort of pleasant and they pop.
No, do you want to know what I think? You're like house. I'm like, he doesn't mean a home. He doesn't mean, like, I'm like deciphering as you're talking.
Right, right.
No, he doesn't mean a house. He doesn't mean a home.
And then there's a bunch of like side characters, like this guy Beric Dondarrion, who he has a flaming sword, which is really cool.
That
but
is cool.
Besides that, there's not much else there. I think he's probably going to be cannon fodder. There's a guy named Dolorous Ed, who inexplicably has survived to the final season. I don't think he's necessarily long for this world. I would be shocked because of the enormity of this battle coming up if about a third of the cast wasn't wiped out next week.
You think so for real? Wow.
The stakes, you know, we're in the final season, the stakes are as high as they've ever been, and this is the big battle with the army of the undead. There's got to be some casualties.
Oh, then, yeah.
Yeah. You get the importance of this.
I'm getting there. All right. And I'm impressed that you watch it four times before you.
At least.
I love it. Hardcore nerd. And an excellent writer. Gotham's Benyakis, thank you so much for joining us. After the break, we get an inside look at a Greenwich Village institution, the music shop, Carmine Street Guitars. Stay with us.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.